Amen. I am so sure of what God will do today. So sure. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatot in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Joash, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Hallelujah. Quite a strategic scripture. And I'll need us to look upon some things here. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that we are priests and we are kings. It's a strange kind of an office, combining two things that are not really miscible under the old covenant. But it happens to be that even though we are kings and priests, your capacity to function and your kingly ordination is tied to your faithfulness and your priestly ministry. Amen. If you are not faithful in your priestly ministry, you will find out that your authority, the scope of your authority, is going to be minimized. Hallelujah. And so it happens to be that Jeremiah was an example of a priest. And he kept doing his priestly business, offering incense unto his God. He was the administrative structure that the God of Israel put in place in order for ministration to come to him. And on the strength of his privileged capacity, you know, it happens to be that you can do so many things without knowledge, but you cannot function as a priest without knowledge. Hallelujah. If you are still here, say amen. Many things you can do without. In fact, you can even be the president of a country without knowledge of how to rule. I heard of a chairman that was elected, and he was an illiterate, so he now asked the governor, send somebody to me to help me know how to sign for money. The only ability he wanted was a skill to approve funds, and he made a good chairman for the time he was on the seat. You can even be a chairman without knowing what it means to govern, and I assure you, your time on the throne, you might spend it with merriment. But it happens to be that in priestly business, you cannot be a priest until you have the knowledge of the implication of what you're doing. You must know how to offer sacrifices, and you must know the implication of each sacrifice that you offer. Hallelujah. Just in case there's no rain in the land, a priest should be summoned. A priest should be sought after. He should know the concoctions to put in place that will create some form of appeasement and cause the hand of God to move, even though it is not his time. There's skill in priestly business. And this young man, Jeremiah, that was his lot and portion because he came from a long line of priests. It was his way of life. But see, unknown to him in his day and time, he began to experience some things that his father probably did not experience. Because it was as though a shackle. Okay, let me try to be humble. Some heavy things are brewing in the spirit. God will come down today. Amen. God will come down today. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Suddenly, as he was doing what he knew how to do best, to offer incense to God, the heavens were opened and the prophetic dimensions began to open. In fact, it says that he became such a prophet that had capacity to hear the words of God in times of revival and in times of transition. I need you to understand that life is factored into seasons. It is ordained by the very strength of God's hand. There are several times where when you just begin to pray, you just find out that God is speaking. You can have yogurt. You can be fasting with yogurt. And revelations are just pouring out. The pages of your diary is filled up with insight, revelation, direction. Another time may come, you might go 3 days dry. The only sound you hear is the rumblings of your stomach crying for help. That's a time of transition. But this guy became so skillful a prophet because the priestly requirement and platform was put in place. The prophetic realm opened so much that he became so skilled as to pick the voice of God even in a time of transition. Now, my question to you today, before I proceed and carry out the function for which I stand. It might be easy for you to hear God in times of revival when there's a surge in spirit power. But have you also learned the skill to hear God when there is no revival? When, in fact, the circumstances around you actually suggest that it's better to be afraid than to be in faith. Have you also developed that skill of being able to pick things from the Spirit at a time where it's as if the Spirit is not willing? This man, because he had his priestly function accurately structured, he was even able to pick the voice of God in that time of transition. Now, it's useful for us to understand something. Most times when you begin to go through troubles, trials, pressures, persecution, hallelujah, most of what God speaks to you in those circumstances are what I call maintenance words. Maintenance. I know you have never been to the wilderness, but I've been there. Maintenance words. There was a time in my life for 2 years, 4 months. All right? God was not saying, I will make you a great nation. I will put anointing upon you sufficient to take 2 cities. Those were not his utterances. Because there was so much persecution against my life. It was as if something leaked out of heaven. As if an omen was casted from heaven. And that omen wanted to rest upon my head. The persecution was terrible. Hallelujah. The words of God. In fact, one time I wanted to fight. But before fighting, I had to go back to God for permission to fight. Because at the end of the day, the conclusion of the matter was that if we go the way of the flesh, this thing will end quickly. I know you have never felt like you have been praying in tongues and you are pious and sanctimonious and sacramental. But many times I felt it was better to end this thing with a bout. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. But I had to go to him for permission. Say, see. One more time. And then he came with a maintenance word. That those seasons are not the times you hear that. You will take the gospel to Namibia. No. The word that comes to you in transition is for maintenance. Because there has been a fracture on your emotion. There has been something that happened to you and I saw the flesh has gained dominance. And it's very easy for you to sway along that tangent. And so the word that comes to restrain you so that you will not do something in folly that you regret 3 years later. That will empower the devil for 7 years in your life. He told me you can have your fight. But when you are done with your fight, your wilderness journey will be extended. Now that was not taking the gospel to Namibia. It was maintenance word. The Lord give you understanding. Please help me preach to your neighbor as we advance. It's not enough for you to hear God in times of revival. You need to know how to hear him in times of transition. And most often, his words in the seasons of transition You have stopped preaching. That's why that... Don't stop preaching. Don't stop. I said most of the time, his words in the seasons of transition. Keep preaching. Their maintenance words. See, the truth is this. If you don't get to receive the maintenance words, you might undo the things that you began to construct during the times of revival. Maintenance. To restrain you. Hallelujah. You are about to slap somebody, and that slap will cost you 10 years of your life. The wilderness that God will forgive you, but men will not. Anytime they want to remember you, your name, they are forgotten that you are somewhere. They will say, the pastor that slapped. Men won't forgive you. You are not with me. And so he comes with words of transition to act like a stabilizer. You know, when the current is fluctuating, you need an equipment too. That's the kind of word he brings in the time of transition. You may even forget the words you received in the days of revival, but the ones that came to maintain, it straps onto your heart and becomes as much a part of you as your own beating heart. So this guy was able to pick the voice of God in times of revival and in times of transition. I hope you know, the boys are separated from men in transition seasons. Yeah, you are not okay. You are not here. You have abandoned me. That's where the boys are separated from men. We were part of a fellowship before, and every time like that prophecy breaks out, it was sweet. Oh, just come from prayer meeting about 15 minutes into the time. Somebody comes down under the power with a strange tongue. You know, this utterance is divine. And so we say, oh, he's here again. And we thought it would continue like that for 2 years. A time came, the seasons changed. The God that came with massive sunlight decided to wear a face cap and come under the shade. The speaking pattern was altered. Well, okay, let's be humble. The great seasons gave way to great persecution. And most of the people that vowed, I will die with you, they denied God in the times of transition. One guy like that, he was a convert from Islam. He said, anyway, I will die. He was the first to take off when they came for our head. He took off first. He escaped. In fact, in the night. So that in case you want to trace him, it will be impossible. We were the ones left on the field. And I told the policeman that came to arrest us, you can do what you must do, but even you will not sleep this night. So when I said that, he shook. I said, I've not finished my, let me utter my speech. He said, if you talk again, I'll slap you. He gave me a slap, I was still talking. I said, it happens to be, if we sleep in the cell today, hey! He released us. After my the third enchantment broke his confidence. But the man that vowed that he would escape, he will serve God till the death. God brought him out of his life. He denied. Tell your neighbor, we need maintenance wars. Maintenance wars. Because these are times of transition. Before the day will dawn, some wars, like a candle, like a little spark, must come so that you can navigate in the midst of darkness. Job said, as it was with me when the candle of the Lord was upon my head, and by its light I walked through what? Darkness. That's maintenance words. It's not a floodlight. Just little streaks of light. Weak light. Beggarly light. But sufficient to enable you to take. That's maintenance. For a long time in the body of Christ, maintenance words have been scarce. And it has been a protracted season of transition. God's intention is that he wants to leave his army line so that some new guys will make the list of the front lines. Transitions are strategies from God to sift the army and for another generation to march in front. I believe that what God is doing with us this weekend has a touch of eternity with it, to it, because he wants to move some of us into the front line in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor again, maintenance wars. Maintenance wars. Maintenance wars. As he grew in the prophetic, deeper understanding started coming to him. And then God uttered a word to him and said, even before you were formed, you existed as a seed of eternity. And it happens to be that, I don't know in what form he existed. Okay, yes, I know as a seed of eternity. But the Bible says God knew him in that state. Are you with me? Okay. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth, I sanctified and ordained thee to the nations. It happens to be surprisingly that before you showed up, God had already separated you unto a call, a mandate. Hallelujah. And that's why we cannot do without prophets in the body of Christ. Because a prophet is supposed to link us up with the original things in the original state. It is not his responsibility to break it down. He brings it raw, like that. The teachers can do the fine-tuning, but he is called with strong spiritual power to bring things and to reveal things in the original context and state. You might look upon a little child, and that child looks feeble, but the destiny of that child was concluded before the child found expression. And many times we'll need a prophet to peep. And if the peeping is accomplished, you can discern a purpose even in a suckling. And so anytime those days, like when Jesus was brought to the temple for dedication, prophets had to be there to peep into eternity, to understand the strength of the purpose that this one represents. So that from that day and time, he should not be known in the context of men, but he must be identified by the purpose of God. In fact, names in Bible times were actually revelations of purpose, revelations of duty, as assigned and apportioned by God. Hallelujah. Now, so we need a testimony. Many times when a child is about to come into manifestation, there are strange signs that the parents get to see. Most often the mothers. The mothers are mostly up to date with the reality that they carry, because the burden of bearing is in their hands. And God normally shows them mercy once and again to make them peep into the substance, the reality of the children that they get to carry. Because if we don't start right, we cannot become right on the way. And it's even possible to start right and not end up right. But it's not possible for you to start wrongly and become right. Somebody said TB Joshua started wrongly, but now God has approved of him. I say, you are still in your sins. You are still in your sins. How that corrupt? Let me stop there. You are still in your sins. That's how I... Corruption evolved and became incorruption. He said, you are still in your sins. Amen. Okay. Now, see, I don't want us to lose the impact of the moment that is coming. I don't want us to lose the impact of the moment that is coming. Over the years, the Lord has been faithful to us. Based on the very, very minute input that we put into the Spirit, he has been so faithful as to furnish in our hearts with the issues that trouble him and with his intentions that he has in the near future. A lot of us have been called into ministry because of those events that are about to come. A lot of us have been spared from death because of the things that are about to fructify. Right now, we are about to enter into the fullness of that for which we were apprehended. And it is needful for us to enter into this season circumspectly, the way people enter into marriage. My friend was going to marry. Everybody said, this is not of God. He said, God is not the one marrying. I'm the one. You know, we have all kinds of stuff going around these days. They say God is not here. I say, no, don't talk God here. We are on ground. And he did not go into it circumspectly. After I had 3 children, the wife just woke up one morning and said, the meter of marriage has expired. See, the thing was running. And he expired today. And she packed out. When I went to visit him in his city, he took me to his bedroom and said, I've been alone. Now, you see, big bed. But he was alone. He did not enter into it circumspectly. He did not check the consequences of the action that he was about to take. And so he rushed into something that was like a pendulum, moving with stringent laws that cannot be uttered. But he was not counseled. He did not open his ears to wisdom. Today he lives with a great scar that only the healer can bring succor to. This is what the future holds for us. Something so delicate. Something that was the reason for the deaths of many strong people. And we need to treat it with as much seriousness as those that died for it. The boss of our heroes' past will not be in vain. There is a consciousness with which we need to approach the meeting this evening as we seek to take some little snapshots and to develop an inventory of the whispers of eternity that God has given to us as promises that are expressions of covenants that he has made with our fathers. For the next 10 minutes, I want to call a brother to unveil some things. He was with me in Lagos and he began to open up some strange things that God had revealed to him. And when he left, he didn't know. He left me sick. Not physically. The burden, the weight of the burden that was upon my heart could not be diagnosed by a stethoscope of a doctor. But all the symptoms of affliction had set in, because a burden was what he came to deliver. Please, with all gravity, we enter into the next few moments. But before we do so, I'd like you to bow your head and consecrate your heart to God. It's a high service today. And anything that is in darkness and make it a lie might restrain the hand of the Holy Ghost. It's not out of place for you to plead the blood on that heart. Lord, as you open the secret places, the chambers that have not been accessible till this point, we plead with you with great passion that you grant that even the least among us in this place will find access. The time of our destiny has come. We open our eyes to the fullness of the visitation that you have ordained for us, so that we be not people that will labor under the repercussion of a lost time of visitation. Impart into our hearts this moment the very burden that made them preach, pray, and prophesy, and even die. Let the same understanding seize our hearts this moment. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, so I want to welcome our brother. He will take us for 15 minutes and open our eyes to a few things. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I would like to begin this with a little revelation that God gave to me. It might be little, but I can see the manifestation of it in the process of time. We were doing a prayer in Abuja, and the Lord opened my eyes to see a congregation of the former head of state. So I was surprised to see that in this meeting, they were sitting not in the order of seniority. There was a small passageway. It was just a one-door exit. And I saw them sitting. I was expecting it to be in the order of how they came on the throne. But it wasn't so. But in that revelation, I saw IBB as the number one person on the seat. And all the other former head of state, even the ones that were dead, were behind him. So I say, what kind of thing is this? So just like this pulpit is, I saw a young man standing on that pulpit and was addressing them, telling them how they can do and capture the nation of Nigeria. So while they were doing that, I saw people like Obasanjo and the rest of them that were sitting behind him. And a strange thing in that revelation, I saw Abubakar Atiku among them. And he was sitting on the last row of the seat. So I was wondering, he has never been a president, but how come in the decisions of the nation, he is in as a number one citizen? So while I was asking all these things, I began to hear the young man address them, telling them that there is just one place that if they are able to conquer it, they have the entire nation of Nigeria on his knees. And I got the name Benue State. Hallelujah. So when I heard Benue State, I was grieved. I began to say, no, how can it be Benue State? There has to be an intervention. The prayers that you people are doing in this place, you don't know the impact it's doing in the nation of Nigeria. Let me tell you, if it had not been for this place, Islam would have been entrenched on Nigerian nation. Praise the Lord. God says it has pleased him that this little congregation, that it has pleased him that this little congregation, they have the key and the power of his kingdom. While this meeting was going on, with the anger that was bursting in me, I went and pushed that young man because I could not his face. I was seeing him from behind. He was addressing them. So I was seeing the faces of the former head of state. While this thing was going on, I came from behind and I pushed him off. I said, look, they cannot have Benue State because Benue State has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That if anybody has anything to do with the state, he must be born again. Or there's nothing for you. While I was making this statement, the last person on the row of seat, Atiku, got up angrily to leave the meeting, that he cannot hear this kind of nonsense. Why he was leaving? Because there was only one passageway for him to go. He came to the first person that was on the seat, which was IB, and he restrained him with his right hand, that look, and listen to what this young man is saying. Because if any of you try anything on Benue State, you and your families will be gone. I'm not part of it. That is the victory we are standing here to declare. David had asked something to the people of Israel and his brothers. Is there not a cause? Question, is there not a cause? When your wages are not paid, is there not a cause? When truth faileth and justice is on the street, which means anybody can buy, is there not a cause? If his appointments are based on I know you all were in a cutting group, is there not a cause? If the righteous cannot have their portion, is there not a cause? The Bible says that there's this scripture, the Bible says that the sacrifices in the temple are taken away. Is there not a cause? Like before, when there was no ban on Okada riders, people would come to church at any given time, and then there's a ban of it in a place where people can hardly make a 500 naira to take drop taxi to their homes. Most people cannot come to church to do prayers. Is there not a cause? And then something happened within Tivland. Aliu Muhammad was given the Segemule of Tiv, which is of the bound woman. And the Bible says, the bound woman, the bound child, shall not have rule over the child of the covenant. And then you have a child of the bound woman as the Zegemule, that is the great shadow, shield, a covering. So, where is my portion? Where is your portion? Is there not a cause? The Zegemule died right after Nordbank, and it was transferred to Abubakar Atiku. Is there not a cause? The same person was angrily, because Benue State is being very difficult. It has been bought by the blood of the Lamb and was about leaving the meeting, if not because he was restrained. Is there not a cause? That is why when you look into the spiritual arithmetic, it's very different from what you see outside. And then you see covenants of mosques coming up. And these things are built with government monies. Make donations here, nobody will bring anything. They are doing alignments. After that, the Lord took me to the second bridge of Makurdi. While I was coming in from Abuja, the one that has the railway on it, the old bridge, I saw there's a covenant that is attached to that place, that all the powers that are opposing ministers and each and everything that is of righteousness in Benue State is on that bridge. I have never seen demons in oppression in all of my life. So when the man of God was mentioning that he made mention of words that we should be encouraging ourselves, that is taking steps little bit, there was something that I saw. Why they were saying I can't come into Benue State, I started pleading the blood of Jesus, and then a small space we create, I'll take one step, and then I'll see a convergence of more darkness, and I'll plead the blood of Jesus, and there will be more space. And that was how I did until I crossed the bridge and entered into Makurdi. So, which means the blood is working for us. There is a cause. The Bible says that they that call upon the name of the Lord, they should give him no rest. So if prayer is going on in the evening, if prayer is going on in the afternoon, if prayer is going on at night, it's only in this place that I notice that. Is there not a cause? Let's come to business. I went in to minister in the villages. There's a friend that is a Muslim. He has a filling station. And anytime I used to go into the villages for evangelism, he would say, give him 10 liters of fuel. My coming and going out. He knows that it's the work of God that I'm doing in the villages. A Muslim. That I should be having 10 liters of fuel on my coming in and on my going, even if he is not there. Shortly after that, he called me to come and see something. He has noticed that ever since he's been doing that, some things have begun to change about his family and his business. He took me to his farm. I saw wisdom that has marveled me. That was what changed my life. I thank God for that occasion that day. He made pits, and underneath the pits, he had fish farm. On top of the fish farm, he had poultry. He made the kind of cages for poultry. He was feeding the poultry. The excreta from the poultry, the fish was feeding upon. One thing covers all. He told me reliably that from the fish pound, one bit of that fish, he makes more money compared to the total amount of money that he sells the poultry and eggs. He told me reliably that he is making an average of 100,000 per day. So if he is to donate a thing in the mosque, even if it's 1 million, he can do it, and he knows that there's a way to turn around. Hallelujah. When I saw this and I did prayers in this farm, I said, God, I'm not going to take any fuel from him again. Not because I didn't like it, but there has to be a change of plan. The Lord told me something in Deuteronomy, that in the spirit of disobedience, one of the clauses, that he will bring out the strangers, he will uplift them, and then the ones that are calling themselves indigenous, the homebound people, they will be in lack, and when they are in need of something, they will ask from the strangers. The strangers will give it to them, and they will be in perpetual shame. That was what the Lord told me. I said, look, as the Lord lives, I'm not going to take from him again. What he was from me was an overflow, which means the thing is in me to do it. Praise the Lord. Most of us, we are not using the godly given talents, the callings he has given us. We are eating from strangers, and they are eating from our overflow. God says that he is angry because there is no one that is standing in the gap to say, oh no, God, revenge us of these things. That he saw servants are walking, are riding the horses. Princes are walking the earth. Hallelujah. I want us to know with a small scripture reference, and then I handle the mic to the man of God. Is there not a cause? First Kings. Is there not a cause? First Samuel. David asked his brethren, is there not a cause? First Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. The Philistines, Goliath, the giant, has been boasting himself over the children of Israel over time. And David, the young lad, came on the scene. That is why I respect that revelation that God gave me. It was a young man that was instructing, and it's a young man that pushed him out. So when I see young men, when I came in contact with you, I was expecting you to be an elderly person. From my heart, when I came in contact with you, I was expecting him to be an elderly person. And look at what God is doing in this place. Young people, do not take your youthfulness for granted. It's for anointing and power. And David came and said, that's verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Quickly we read Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6. Is there not a cause? Praise the Lord. I have set watchmen over thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. You that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord had sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. Hallelujah. And the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. Hallelujah. We are not to be quiet in this place. God is doing very awesome and wonderful things. Just want to use these little scriptures to encourage us to pray the more. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. The prayers you are doing, they are doing very wonderful things. You might not see it, but it's only in this place I come and I get the latest of what God has for the body of Christ. I have been going around. I have been testing ministries. I have been receiving impartations. But what I received from this place has never been the same. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us to hold on to the mantle of God in this place. God is revisiting Benue State. Habakkuk did a cry that when he started crying to God, it was perplexion, confusion that he was seeing. Most people, just because they have asked God for some certain things and those things have not come yet, they are getting weary. They are getting, you know, out of place. I have prayed this, I have done that. It has happened. I thank God for the testimony of the man of God. That when it was happening, there was continuity that yes, I have seen a boy. Supposing you left the faith in the midst of it, and when the promise would have come, you wouldn't have had it. So many of us, this is how we get weary. Just because some certain things have not manifested the way we want, and then we begin to give up. Let me tell us, when you give up, that is when it matters. When I did the prayer and began crying to God, God promised me a business place more than 15 years ago. That place is in oppression now. By reason of what happened at my friend's farm, I said, no, I'm not going to collect again because he's having from my overflow. Praise the Lord. So if you can take that same God, hold on to him. The same thing he did for me, he will do it for you. Hallelujah. The dimension of Benue State has not finished yet. God is at work in Benue State. If young people can instruct the former head of state to come and take over Benue State, God has raised young people to instruct that by the blood of the Lamb, nobody can take Benue State. Hallelujah. Once we agree that we'll give God no rest, that beauty will come. Industries will start coming up. Businesses will start coming up. And we'll begin to beautify the house of God. Let me round up with this. When Christ resurrected, the armies were paid cash to make sure that the gospel is blocked. You cannot, what has cash paid for, you cannot force to overrun it. It has to be cash for cash. Do you get what I'm saying? Cash is needed to do the gospel work. If they can use cash to say, don't preach Christ, we can use cash to say, preach Christ. Hallelujah. This thing has caused many of us not to have interest in the things of God. When you have this cash, what will you do with it? Others are already building mosques. Boko Haram is harassing the entire north. the sacrifices that are supposed to be in the churches are no longer there. Is there not a cause? Is there not a devil to rise up? Praise the Lord. I just want to use this revelation and to stir your heart. If you feel you are not important, you are important in the house of God. If they can sit and decide, we too, we can sit and decide. Because in the court of heaven is our God that rules. That he rules in the affairs of men. So whatever you are desiring, you are looking for, is in the house of God. The Bible says it is a scroll. When you have a scroll, you can fold it up. When a Bible verse comes to you, it is a scroll. When it bursts out, I have seen snipers in movies. There is this particular bullet they use. Once it gets into a person, it explodes. And that is why you can see through that person. So is the word of God. When it gets into you, it begins to explode and expand. And then creativity, wisdom, understanding, love, righteousness, purity, power, glory, strength begins to manifest. And then in that, you begin to possess your possessions. We are here because God has given us the power and authority to take over. All I'm saying to you is, do not be discouraged. Let not the sons of the bondwoman have rule over us in this house, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
I'd like us to make that a prayer before the prophet comes forth. The sons of the bondwoman will not rule us. Our rising and our sitting will not be dictated by the powers from the north. We are free in Christ Jesus, and no one can bring us and put us in bondage. Make it a prayer. Nigeria will not sit under the yoke of the foul spirits of the north. We say shame to Boko Haram and their allies. Let the fountains of their money chest fail. Oh na 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 ba na na ba na sa na. Say na na ba re na si kamala de moskaye na na ma de. Oh na na ma de la de moskaye na ma ra na sa na. Mandela de lola de la la ba na se. Oh na na ma de da ko ina na ma na se na na ma de na ma kole da 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 de na na ma sole ma siga da de da na ma sode na ma ra ai na ma se na na gola de si na na ma la ke na. Sigala gole da, eka na marane mo. E na ne la de la de la, o la gamasana. Sigabale, sigabale ba. O na 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 na. We broke the yoke of the Assyrian. The Assyrian that smote with a rod. Ikabade na mosalia. Marade, marade lagagone. Oh na 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 na. Segama na babola. Sigabale, sigabale. go ahead. Go ahead.